Join the conversation now on the WVMT Morning Drive with Kurt and Anthony. 888-414-0303.
Welcome back to the Morning Drive, everybody. Kurt and Anthony here on this Monday morning. And now joining us in studio, it's Renee McGinnis. She is a policy analyst for Vermont Family Alliance. Good morning, Renee.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Thanks for coming. Tell us, first of all, before we get into, we want to focus on the issues that we want to talk about that are in front of the legislators right now, but tell us just a real quick, what is Vermont Family Alliance?
Vermont Family Alliance is a parental rights and minor protections advocacy group.
Okay. And as a policy analyst, let's talk about some of the issues that you and the organization Vermont Family Alliance have been concerned about. You're concerned about, tell me if I'm right or wrong about this, that especially about bills that you think take away parental rights when it comes to kids in school.
Yes. We believe at Vermont Family Alliance that the parents are the experts of their own children who are to be directing their well-being in every manner, in education, in health care, and in values, and that the state only has a role if a minor is, if there's abuse or neglect, and that there is a process through the Department of Children and Families to help that child and to help that family do better. Any legislation that's introduced that usurps the parents' rights to raise their children in the manner that they see fit is a problem.
We'll talk about specific legislation, but do you think there's ever a time that a child could be concerned about their parents knowing something? For example, sometimes they'll point to a bad parent or a parent that's been abusive to a child. Do you think there's ever a time when there's a reason for a child to be concerned about their parents knowing about something they're doing?
Well, you know, especially at the age of adolescence, right? That in that age group, those kids want autonomy and the parents are wanting to give some autonomy as they're growing and maturing. But I think what everyone should be supporting is an open dialogue between parents and their children rather than secrecy. Again, there's a process. If there's an issue with a child being of neglect or abuse, there's a formal process in place.
All right, let's start talking about some of the legislation that I know you have been concerned about. One is S-151. Tell us what that one essentially does and where that one stands.
Yeah, so S-151, it allows minors 12-plus to consent to sexually transmitted infection prevention without parental knowledge or consent. So
what does that mean?
There's already a law on the books since 1971 that allows minors 12-plus to consent to treatments if they have an infection without the parents knowing. This was introduced, it died in committee, but it was introduced to allow minors 12-plus to consent to, so this would be vaccines like Gardasil and drugs and shots, the PrEP, the HIV drugs and shots that are out there right now, plus anything coming down the pipeline that they're working on for sexually transmitted infections, the preventative, so more vaccines down the pipeline. It died in committee, which is a good thing. We don't know if it could come up again. I do know that the Senate Committee on Health and Welfare in May 2023, after they had already introduced this legislation, Siri Glimstad is a law firm that notified the committee that this was illegal according to a federal law, which requires that persons, medical professionals who are planned to administer a vaccine to a minor, they have to show the legal guardians the vaccine information statement. So that's a federal law. And Siri Glimstad notified the committee that if this becomes law, it will be challenged. They've already prevailed in other cases in this manner, and yet the committee continued to pursue this legislation in 2024.
Did they hear from legislative counsel that told them that this would be a challenge that would be very credible, that would be tough to overcome?
I did not listen to the committee discussions on this, if they occurred in 2023. I can say that the committee discussions that I listened to in 2024, I did not hear legislative counsel notify committee members of this.
All right, we're talking to Renee McGinnis. She is a policy analyst for the Vermont Family Alliance. If you have a question for Renee, give us a call on the McKenzie Country Classic Hotline, 888-414-0303. And so that bill, 220, that's 151, excuse me.
Yep.
That one, at least for now, has been shelved.
It has.
But you remain concerned with 2-3 weeks left in the session that it could
come back this session. It could come back next year.
So you want to make sure people are informed.
Yeah, they need to be aware
as to what this bill means.
Yes.
And they chose 12 years old.
Yes.
that does seem, I don't know. I'm very frustrated because it seems like nobody can nail down an age. It's 16 for some things, 12. Now we're going younger on medical stuff, but we're going older on vaping. And tattoos. You still got to be 18 to get a tattoo. But you can inject your body at 12 with something that no guardian or anybody has to know about.
Yeah, that's concerning. I mean, if there's a vaccine reaction and the parents don't know about it, how do they know how to address the situation?
Yeah.
Yeah, and at the age of majority in Vermont by statute is 18.
Yeah.
So there's your marker for where it should be at.
What do you think of the argument you hear from some legislators about the need for these bills? And I guess some of them would say we need to have this younger age because these issues are so sensitive for kids that they need to be able to have confidentiality sometimes from their parents.
Again, I would, I think that it's a breakdown of the family if you're having secrecy between an adolescent and their parents, and the parents are, most parents are want to act in the best interest of their child. I think that people need to be supporting and encouraging open communication between parents and children. A super, school administration or a healthcare provider or a librarian or what have you, they do not have the relationship with the child that the parent does.
Right. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're live on the Morning Drive.
Hi. Question for Renee. I follow legislation, and I'm hearing something about 12-year-olds and library books. Can you address that?
All right, Renee, that was on my list to ask you about, too. So that's S-220, right?
Yes, S-220.
Tell us what that one does.
That one lowers the age at which library personnel and employees can legally disclose library records. It lowers the age. The current law is at 16. They want to lower it to 12. So this means anything that the 12-year-old plus, if this were to pass, could be kept private from the parents. This includes internet use and all materials that are available at the library. And we no longer have a consensus in society about what is and what is not appropriate. In fact, there's a great divide on these issues. And again, Vermont Family Alliance is opposed to legislation that supports secrecy between the parents and the children.
So right now the law is that it's 16, right? That if you can access anything in the school library without having to have parental consent or anything. This, if you're under 16 years old under current law, how does it work? If you wanted to take a book out or something, how does that work? Right now under current law.
Yeah, under current law. So parents would be able to review their child's library use records, ages 16 or under. They want to.
And what would trigger that? Like if a kid went in and got a book that's not controversial, how would a parent could decide that they wanted to review every single thing that their child was was taken out in the library?
A parent would have to proactively ask. Okay. Yeah. So, but this, and S-220 also violates a federal law that the parental, the protection of pupil rights. So parents are allowed to ask to review all curriculum and materials that their student is using.
So that's the way it works. It's the parents have to be interactive and make a decision.
They have to be proactive and ask.
Or proactive.
Yes.
Interactive.
Yeah.
And the federal law protects the parents' rights to see what their children are viewing, but how old is the federal law?
That I don't know how old that federal law.
I was just
law.
Curious if it was 16 or 18, the age of majority. See, this is again.
Oh, the age of on that bill, the federal law is 18 also as well. The age of majority is 18. Yes.
So and federal law supersedes state law.
It does.
I mean, we still have a constitution.
We
but
do.
Yet these we're trotting forward, knowing that that these are going to get challenged in court immediately.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, if you want to join the conversation, we're going to take a quick 2-minute break.
Local people about local issues every day. The Morning Drive with Kurt and Anthony on FM 96.3 and AM 620 WVMT.
Welcome back to the Morning Drive, everybody. Kurt and Anthony here. We're going to continue our discussion now with Renee McGinnis. She is a policy analyst for Vermont Family Alliance, and the McKenzie Country Classic Hotline is open, 888-414-0303.
And let's go to it. Good morning. You're live on the Morning Drive.
Good morning. Could you speak to the Family Alliance's experience testifying in front of in congressional hearings in Montpelier? Do they even allow you guys to enter the building?
You get to speak in front of committees, right? Do you think they take your testimony seriously? Do they listen carefully? Do you think you get anywhere? I mean, you do testify in front of committee, right?
Yes. I would say that the testimony received before the committees is very unbalanced.
Tilted the other way.
It is. And last year, I think it was H-89, the SHIELD bill for providers, gender-affirming care providers. I think I was only given 7 minutes in front of the Committee on Health and Welfare under Senator Ginny Lyons. So I was given 7 minutes, and then I sit and listen to, you know, all these other, you know, the doctors and the Vermont Medical Society getting unlimited amounts of time. So that is an issue.
I'm sure the ACLU was there. They're at every committee meeting.
They are.
They get, like, unlimited time.
Now, Renee, do you think that there is a coordinated attempt to continue to lower the age of consent? Do you think that's a coordinated attempt? And do you feel that there is there evidence that some kids, obviously not all kids, but at least a minority of kids are going to school and changing their parents not knowing about things that are happening, like that they could even change their name, their identity, or whatever it may be, and they don't know about it? Is that happening?
My understanding is that it is happening. You know, I am aware of a lawsuit in Michigan where parents are challenging, they've sued the school district for socially transitioning their child under the 1st and 14th Amendments of the U.S. Constitution.
And do you think that's happening here?
Do I think that that is happening?
Not the lawsuit, but that it's actually happening in school.
That's an opinion. I think that it is. Yes, I do. I think that it very likely is happening here. I've not heard of any specific cases of that happening, but it's highly likely.
What are some of your other concerns, Renee, about? We know the concerns about 220, obviously. And do you think 220 has a chance to become law this year? I know 151 has, you said, at least at this point, has not getting any traction, is not going anywhere, at least now.
Yes.
Do you think 220 is still in play? Is there a real chance that one becomes law?
It appears likely. It's in the It's in the House Committee on Government and Military Affairs, and that the chair of the committee was very excited to receive the bill. They received an introduction from Senator Martine LaRocque Gulick. I believe it was on the 11th of April. They are planning on taking testimony on that bill. Vermont Family Alliance has submitted their request to testify by before the committee, and we're hoping to get that time. I have not been yet scheduled to testify.
They are, I'm looking at their schedule for this week, and they are going to take testimony Wednesday morning for an hour from Legislative Council, and then the Vermont Department of Libraries, the Vermont Library Association, for an hour, but yet there's nothing scheduled for the rest of the week as of yet.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
And you think, and you do think there is a coordinated attempt to lower the age of consent?
Well, it looks that way, doesn't it? I mean, you know, all these bills are, you know, 12 plus. And again, it's a very vulnerable stage in a child's development when the parents need to be even more involved. I mean, the decisions that kids could be making on their own have lifelong consequences. The adolescents need their parents' involvement all the more at this age to be guiding and directing them. And so when, you know, legislators are moving legislation that's breaking that.
It's funny. You think back to your 12-year-old self or your 14-year-old self. I think 12 to me seems even so much younger. 14 is when you really think you know everything. You know absolutely everything. And think back to your 14-year-old self. And can you think of a decision you made? There's probably 50 of them that you're later in life are like, why did I even think that way?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I wonder if people, I mean, I don't know. It dumbfounds me that you can't sit here logically and say, I was clear and level-headed at 12. I should be making lifelong decisions for myself. And yet, this is the constant beating of the drum now. I don't understand it. What do you think the motivator is? Where is it coming from? Why?
Honestly, there's a war over who's going to have the minds of our children. And parents need to win that war.
And what do you think? So parents listening to the show this morning and hearing the concerns, I know there are other concerns you have ahead of even the two bills that you have mentioned. What should parents know? What should parents do if they are concerned as you are?
You know, stand up for your kids. Your kids, you know, families are on the line. Our society is on the line. Parents really need to step up. They should go to their schools, their child's schools, and ask to see the curriculum that their children are learning from, and to not be intimidated. You know, the superintendent and the school board's elected. The superintendents of the schools report to the school board. If parents don't agree with what's going on, they have every right to petition to have that superintendent removed. Let's get local control over our schools. You know, people should contact their legislators, you know, about these bills if they're concerned. Let your legislator know that you are not on board. Your elected officials represent you, the people. You know, it's an election year. Ask the candidates where they stand on these issues.
Now, if people want to help or get involved, Vermont Family Alliance, do you have a website? What's the best way to contact
your
organization or get involved and help?
Yes, we do have a website now, VermontFamilyAlliance.com. You can sign up for our email list. We don't email all that often. A little bit more frequently during the legislative session, but you know, certainly, you know, maybe one or two emails a week tops. It's when things are really, you know, active that we would notify people what's going on.
So one easy way to follow is to go to your website and sign up.
Go to our website. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and X.
And we're just about out of time, Renee. Anything else, any other concerns you have of things that are percolating around in the legislature in these last weeks? I know you've mentioned two key ones. Is there anything else you want to mention?
Legislatively, I don't think so. That's the two right now. You know, there's so many bills flying around. It's really hard to keep on top of everything. So certainly if you are aware of a bill, your audience, if someone in your audience is aware of a bill that we should be aware of, send us a message. Get involved. Yep.
Cool.
All right. Renee McGinnis. She is a policy analyst for Vermont Family Alliance. Thanks for being on The Morning Drive today.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Thanks for coming in. All right, well, we're going to check in with Fox News. Amanda has the headlines. We've got the Max Advantage forecast from Channel 3, meteorologist Dave Bush.